Okay, good. Hello, my name is Patrick Rudolph, and I'm working at Nine Elements. And last year I got the chance to work on U-Boot and actually getting paid for it. So let's get started. So I got a task. The task was to enable the SBSA on a Raspberry Pi 4 within U-Boot. And yeah, that's what my talk is about the journey that was necessary to get this done. So the ARM SBSA is a specification released by ARM. It's intended for server platforms, for 64-bit server platforms. And the specification points to the BBR, that's the base boot requirements specification for such servers. And I used this specification to implement the changes in U-Boot to get it working. Okay, so let's have a look at the specification. It mandates several items. Some of those were already implemented. So UEFI support and the PSCI support were already done in U-Boot, so I don't had to work on this. It also mandates ACPI support, and yeah, that's what I implemented. It also mandates SMBIOS. That's something I did not look at. It's currently not implemented. However, it's not required to boot an operating system. It works without SMBIOS. Yeah, first of all, let's have a look at the device tree. It's usually used on embedded platforms like the Raspberry Pi 4, and it's typically not used on server platforms. While the specification, the SBSA, is especially for server platforms. The device tree describes what your hardware looks like, and it allows an operating system or a bootloader to identify components on your computer, to load drivers, and yeah, it allows to reuse drivers across various computers. So you don't have to know what computer you're running on, you just need a device tree. It tells you everything you need to know. And on the other hand, there's ACPI. It was a replacement for the BIOS. Back in the days, you had no chance to know what hardware you were running on. All you could do is call into the BIOS. It was 16-bit code. It was very slow, very buggy, vendor-specific, and just a pain to deal with. That's why ACPI was invented. Again, it just describes the hardware. There's the binary representation. So you compile your ACPI source code into a binary code, but it's lossless, so you can convert it back if you want to basically disassemble it. On ACPI, you have two different kinds of code. You have, on the one hand, you have tables, and you have AML bytecode. The AML bytecode requires an interpreter in the OS or the bootloader. So that's kind of different compared to the device tree. The device tree is just a data structure. You don't need an interpreter. Of course, you need to understand the data. But ACPI is more complex, but on the other hand, allows you or gives you more control over your computer. ACPI tables need to be loaded into the DRAM. Usually, this is done by the firmware or the bootloader. Just a short explanation about ACPI. So there are multiple tables in your DRAM. For example, the RSTP, it just points to another table. Inside that table, multiple pointers to, again, different ACPI tables because you can have multiple in your system. Some of those are like the FADT, the DSDT, which contains the bytecode I talked about. Hardware look kind of different. So we have a specific name that can be chosen by the firmware vendor or the manufacturer. We have an identifier that identifies the hardware. In this case, it's an PL011 UART. We have a property that describes where to find this a specific hardware. Here it's memory mapped at an address and has a fixed length. And in the end, there's also a status or field that says if it's actually enabled and working in your computer. What can we do to patch the device tree? So usually device tree is loaded from the spy flash or provided by an early stage bootloader, and then you have to modify it to add user-specific settings, port-specific settings, change the boot order or the command line. You can do it inline or unflatten the whole binary device tree, do modifications, and then pack it again. That means convert it into a binary representation. And an example is given here as used in U-boot. On the other hand, we have the ACPI bytecode. Again, this can be inline patched. However, currently there's no firmware that allows to parse it, modify it, and generate AML bytecode out of it. What's supported is just generating it at runtime. That's usually done in C. Here's an example how the inline patching is done. Okay, so we look at the competitors, like other firmware solutions that exist, like QMO, UFI, or Coreboot, that are able to generate ACPI on ARM64. So the simplest solution is use QMO. It generates ACPI code before you run your virtual machine. It's just copied into the virtual machine, and it allows you to run your kernel directly. So that's not a good example for us because there's basically no firmware involved. It just works. Then there are firmware-based solutions. So you can run Coreboot, EDK2, or U-boot in your virtual machine. But again, it just uses an MMIO region to copy the ACPI tables into the DRAM of the virtual machine. So even though it's using firmware, it's not a good example. But it has working ACPI support on ARM64. So UFI. UFI usually has all their ACPI tables in flash. It just loads them from flash, places it in DRAM, and then it's modified in DRAM or in place. UFI does not use a device tree, just hard codes, defines in the DSC file. Similar, Coreboot is able to load DSCT from flash, place the table in DRAM, and all other tables are generated at runtime using C code. It does not use a device tree. It has something similar called device-tree.cb, but that's actually converted into a C file when you build Coreboot. And it's possible to generate SSDT code as seen here in the example. So you call tons of C functions that generate AML bytecode. At this point, I want to thank Simon Glass. He started the ACPI enablement on Raspberry Pi 4 back in 2021, and he did lots of reviewing in the whole process of upstreaming. And I want to thank my colleague Max. He picked up Simon's work, polished the code, moved everything into common folders, and then we just called the common code I took that over last year, July, polished it for upstreaming, sent it upstream, and it was denied. So let's look why. So there were several do's and don'ts by the maintainers, and here they are. So they said, we need an emulated mainboard first. So the Raspberry Pi is not an emulated mainboard. It's not a good example. Start with something else. Because we need to make sure it works for everybody, we can use the CI to run the new code, and it allows everybody to confirm the changes done. They also said device tree first. So not using C code, but everything need to be defined in the device tree. So the issue is, this is an ACPI only platform. I will show that in the next slide. And they also said U-boot drivers should take care of the ACPI code generation by just reading the device tree. So don'ts are no static DSTT AML code and no static ACPI tables and C code that are just placed in DRAM. So I added support for the QMO SBSA ref platform that's designed around the specification by ARM. It provides a minimal device tree and nothing else. It doesn't provide ACPI tables. It doesn't have firmware config interface. It just gives you a very, very small device tree, and that's it. So what I had to do is add a proper device tree, because that was mandated by U-boot developers. And what we do is currently on that platform, we merge the device tree. So there's one that's included into the U-boot binary. There's one that's given by QMO. Both are merged, and then we got a complete device tree for that specific virtual machine. So the U-boot drivers then match against the compatible string, as seen here in this example. And every U-boot driver has something inboard specific or SOC specific C code that generates those tables. But the ultimate goal is to have just U-boot drivers to generate every ACPI table in your system by just reading device tree nodes. So the upstreaming status, it was quite a lot of work, much more than expected. I added two boards, the QMO SBSA ref board, a virtual machine, and the Raspberry Pi 4 with ACPI enabled. Upstreaming completed in 2024. You can check out the release tag that has all the patches included. So let's review the original task. So I added basic ACPI support. It works on the Raspberry Pi 4 virtual machine, boots on real hardware, but it's not SBSA compliant, just because the hardware itself is an embedded platform and doesn't fulfill the specification. This SOC support is also, experimental. It doesn't implement all quirks. Not all Linux drivers will load or work correctly, just because it's a very special platform, and you have lots of special Broadcom drivers that needs to be adapted to work with ACPI. There's an official EDK2 firmware that you can use on Raspberry Pi 4 that has proper ACPI support. And here's some future plans. So the idea is to get rid of all DSTT AML code, get rid of all the table generation in mainboard code and SOC code, and just have U-boot drivers to write out tables by parsing the device tree. Also to enable more boards, because currently it's just the Raspberry Pi 4 and the emulated platform. That's it from my side. Do you have any questions?
Does U-boot still pass the device tree binary to the kernel? And how do you deal with overlays in case of ACPI?
Okay, so the first question is, does U-boot pass the device tree to the kernel? No, so the idea is that only ACPI tables are passed to the kernel, no device trees provided. The second question was?
And device tree overlays are frequently used in Raspberry Pi. How do you do that with ACPI? Do you have some kind of overlay or plugin mechanism for the user?
So device tree overlays, I'm not sure if device tree overlays are used within U-boot on Raspberry Pi 4. Because currently U-boot is not the first firmware that runs. There are several other firmwares or bootloaders that start before U-boot actually runs. And in the end, U-boot just gets a complete device tree, something that's assembled already and ready for proper use. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Let's go.
Next question. Yes, it's possible. So you have to write drivers for everything to generate proper ACPI code for power domains, for clock domains.
No. It shouldn't be a device for the power domain. It should be a status and power state for the device. That's the point.
Yeah, I guess you can take this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, guys.